My dear brethren and sisters, I'm always glad to bear testimony to the faith within me. Yet I confess that standing before such an audience, I feel a sobering effect Brigham Young felt it. In his day, and he declared that since we are all children of God, there is within each one of us a part of God's very nature. And that you stand before a great group of Latter-day Saints, the accumulation, so to speak, of that godliness lifts a man to feeling that he stands before the great dignity of the Maker of us all. I've listened with great interest to the messages of this conference. We've had a good time together. I know we've all been touched by the eloquent words just spoken by President McKay. He has touched the very center of our spiritual being, of our membership in the Church of Christ. During the events of the last few days, many memories have crowded in upon my mind. In the late afternoon of a warm, muggy Salt Lake day in August or September, I sat in my office, rather tired after day's work. The University of Utah had had internal dissensions which had been fanned by enemies into a nationwide scandal. I had been called in to assist others in trying to return the institution and its work to a normal condition. It's the third time in my life that I'd been obliged to serve my state in such a capacity. I was weary. Just then there was a knock upon the door, and in walked George Albert Smith. He said, "I'm on my way home after my day's work. I thought of you and the problems that you are supposed to solve. I came in to comfort you. And to bless you." That was the way of George Albert Smith. Of the many friends I have throughout the state and beyond, he was the only one, except a few of my intimate friends, who cared to take the time to give me the loving help in the work I had to do. Of course, I appreciated that. I shall never forget it. We talked together for a while. We parted. He went home. My heart was lifted. I was weary, no longer. You see, love, of which we have spoken so much during this conference, is not a mere word or a sensation within. To be worthy of that which we talked about the last few days, it must be brought into action. President Smith on that occasion did that. He gave of his own time, of his own strength, to me. I hope that those of us who have attended the conferences these last few days will understand that the test of love is whether the person who loves gives of himself, of his powers, to the loved one. There is no true love unless that is done. A husband must give of his own self, in a large sense, to the wife he loves. And she must give of herself, surrender perhaps for him the things that she would like to keep and have. And parents and children must have the same relationship. There's no love without that higher sacrifice. And since we've spoken so much about love, perhaps we might keep that in memory. Shortly before the death of President Smith, I heard one of his addresses. Perhaps it was his last, I'm not quite sure. He chose as his theme the unhappy condition of the world at the present time. He laid down a principle, which I believe to be correct and inspired, that there will be no peace, no final solution of the world's problems until this body of people, comprising the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, cleanse themselves, accept the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, spoken of so beautifully this morning, and set to work to battle for righteousness and for truth. Only then can we hope for peace. He admitted that, of course, it was a tremendous claim, but the claim is eternal. Truth is always the winner. Truth is never defeated. In the words of the old poet, truth crushed to earth will rise again. And he left that on that occasion a message to me and to others that we must cleanse our hearts, as said here today by President McKay. We must gather up our courage. We must set forth the battle for righteousness in the world. And then, just as leaven's a lump, so we shall leaven the whole world. Tremendous mission, isn't it? Tremendous to think about. That this handful of people have within themselves the power, if properly used, to change the whole world for good or for evil. I have felt and have felt on many occasions, especially after that sermon, that what we need to do, each one of us, is to begin to examine our own testimonies of the truth. We speak of the testimony, yes. We say we have a testimony. But is the testimony of a kind that enable a man to accept the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ under any and all conditions? It might be good for us Latter-day Saints to begin to re-examine our testimonies once in a while. Like a man who goes into battle, he cleanses his sword, he looks after his gun, he's ready for the battle when it comes. And we're right in the midst of a great battle today, the battle of the ages, foretold by prophets throughout the long ages of the past. And we must begin, I think, I know, with an understanding of the gospel of Lord Jesus Christ and a willing and ready acceptance of it, as indicated by President McKay. There's no other way. But having begun that way, having looked into our own hearts, into our testimonies, and added that which is wanting, taken out that which is unworthy, we shall be fit for the battle. And in the words of President Smith, like the leaven, we shall leaven all people. His life of love was merely an illustration of that larger view of the business of all who follow the Christ. And I think that we Latter-day Saints can afford to be unique people. Once in a while I meet a young person, sometimes an older person, who says, well, that may all be true, but I don't want to be different from other people. I want to be like other people. Why can't we be like the others? It's so much easier to go through life. Well, we can't help our brothers and sisters that we are different. We are different. In righteousness, in virtue, in the teachings of the eternal gospel, we are different. We can't escape it. If our testimonies are sound and true, we know that we cannot be like other people unless they too accept the truth as we possess it. I don't know a figure in the last 2,000 years who is more different from humanity, the bulk and the millions of men and women, than the prophet Joseph Smith. He stands alone, unique, the only religious leader in 2,000 years since the days of the Christ who received his commission from God himself, who was instructed by God himself, who spoke at one time with God himself. No other man in the midst of the great apostasy from the truth, from the simple truth, has ever been able to make that claim. And we know it to be true. Of course we're different people. And since I mustn't take too much time on the subject today, a lot of us are yet to speak, let me say to you that we have the right, in searching our testimonies, in getting them ready for this great battle, we must remember that a testimony is a living thing, not a static, dead thing. Alive, sometimes thrills a man or woman until the visions of heaven are open to him or to her. And by that token, of life, a testimony must be fed and cared for and nurtured, kept in its right position, protected if needs be. And in doing that, I think we have the right to take all the evidences that lie about us, all evidences of the truth of this great Latter-day work. The Lord himself told us to do so. If you read the Doctrine and Covenants, section 20, when the foundations of this church were laid, when the Constitution, so to speak, was written, you'll find that thing is mentioned, that by the evidences that lie all about us, we shall be judged. And Joseph Smith carries with him evidence after evidence of the reality and the truth and the far powerful composition of all that he did. I've been thinking lately how that one great argument in favor of Joseph, debated and talked about over 100 years now, that he had witnesses, human flesh and blood witnesses such as we are, to his birth. Or he was alone in the grove, he was alone with Moroni, and Moroni called. The church had not been organized. It hardly begun. But from that time on, almost everything he did of a spiritual nature, his communions and communications with the Almighty and divine beings, were shared with him by others. It's a wonderful thing. The great leaders of the last 2,000 years have gone into the woods, fasted and prayed and come back with their message alone. Or they've gone into the caves, Muhammad, always alone. But this great Latter-day prophet, after the beginning of the work, had companions who shared with him these great experiences. 12 men saw the plates of the Book of Mormon. Not going into that, you know. When the priesthood was restored, Oliver Cowdery, an honest man whose integrity has never been questioned, received the priesthood with Joseph. And when Peter, James, and John came to give the higher priesthood, Oliver Cowdery was there. When the great message in the Kirtland Temple came, which we frequently overlook in its greatness, Oliver Cowdery was by his side. And the great message that men shall be judged by their works, a tremendous doctrine in that day of apostasy, Sidney Rigdon was with the prophet Joseph Smith. And men, the ancestors of some of you men who are here today, were in the room with the prophet time and time again when the revelations of God came to him, and they have described some in writing how it occurred. You don't stand alone. You're unique people, but all about us are witnesses to the truth of this great Latter-day work. It might be well in building our testimonies to begin with these simple foundation events. Ultimately, we'll get that greater testimony, the testimony of the Spirit, which is the testimony, but which we must achieve little by little in a natural manner that the Lord has prescribed. So, brothers and sisters, let us look into our testimonies. Are they just the words of our tongues? What do they really represent? If they need mending, mend them. If they need building, build them. Remember our world message. I've said before from the stand that we are not confined to these valleys and mountains. Our message is for the whole world, for every nation, every tongue, every kindred. For them we have responsibility. And God bless us and be with us, not only in our search for truth, but in our use of truth for the accomplishment and the completion of the great purposes of the Lord in these days. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.